It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the Gospel of John, John chapter 7. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 7, verse 25, and we're going to read through verse 37. So if you would open your Bibles and turn to that, and while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you, this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. You've had time now and a few moments now to open your Bibles, and I hope that you have the time this morning to sit down, today to sit down and enjoy this study. So please now, John chapter 7, and I'll begin reading with verse 25. John chapter 7, verse 25, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ comes, no man knows whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. The Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, I shall seek me, ye shall seek me, and ye shall not find me? And where I am, thither ye cannot come. And then in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start. Father, I thank you for your precious word. Help us to see these words and look to them and find your way and will. And I ask, Father, that today that you will bring every listener that is turned an ear unto you today and to listen to this program, that they will come to know you as their Savior. If they have never confessed you before, come and repent of their sin and confess their sin and come to you. If they've never taken care of that, never come to this personal relationship that they need to have with you, I ask that they do it today, and I ask that they don't tarry one more day, and that they just come to you. Please, Lord, that you would touch each and every heart, that they would be moved by you, saved and lost alike, Lord. Just turn this world upside down, because it needs to be turned upside down. It needs to be turned from its wicked way and come to you, Lord. Now please, that you would lead us as we study this word today. I ask that you'll, again, touch every heart of every person that's listening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue in the study as we've been through many things here concerning the people, and as first it was some of the rulers that we found on the other side, and then the Jews, they marveled and said, and then we find a little later why the people that were around, we find that in verse 20 now, the people answered and said, Thou hast a devil, and then we have Jesus' answer to that. Then we find our way down to verse 24. It says, Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And so as we look at that, we know that the only one that can really judge, and that is the Lord Jesus himself, none other. The Lord Jesus himself is the only one that can judge. So please, that we leave the judgment up to him, and we take out the Word of God, the truth. We do not try to discern from what is right and what is wrong, but we look just to the Word of God. We trust in the Word of God. We know that it's God's perfect Word. It is penned by man, but by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, each and every word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. We have no opportunity here to say we believe some of it and some of it we do not. We need to trust in it completely, know it to be the truth, and know it to be God's Word. And when we do that, we begin to study and to walk each day, then we understand that we have no ability or no strength to judge anyone. Now, we need to proclaim the truth, and sometimes that comes across as a judgment. Because when we proclaim the truth and the truth stands against someone else, they feel like that we're judging them, and they'll say that, "How can you judge us?" I am not judging you. I am stating what the Word of God tells. And when it comes across that you are doing something in the religion that you're involved in that's contrary to the Word of God, then you may understand that. But I'm not judging you. The Lord Jesus is judging you, and He will judge you. I'm just repeating, saying what His precious Word says. Now, people can change His Word, try to do it all the time. And try is the word there. They cannot accomplish that. They can just try to change it. Now, please, if you begin to move, and we have read that back in Revelation concerning to add to or to take away from it, you need to decide whether you want to chance changing the Word of God. I do not. I stand upon the truth, and I proclaim it as it is, and not to take away or to add to it. Again, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment, and Jesus is the one that can judge. We're proclaiming His Word, let Him be the judge. Now it begins with verse 26, "But lo, He speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto Him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" They couldn't quite understand it, could they? There was kind of a mixed message here, I believe. "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." They are trying to figure out. You know, they listened to Him. And there was even the Pharisees and everyone, when Jesus spoke, there was a power and a boldness at the presentation. When Jesus spoke, they listened. Now, some hearkened to those words and some didn't. But they still heard it, and they were so taken by what He knew. You know, we were through that just a week or so ago. They could not believe what He how He knew the Word, and yet He was not taught. We have this in the 14th and 15th verse of chapter 7. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" You see, they were all taken by the way the Lord Jesus could proclaim His Word. Well, sure He can. He is God. And He proclaims His Word so clearly and so boldly, and they recognized that, not so much that He was the Lord Jesus, but He was a special man in his presentation. Too bad they missed that He was the Messiah, the Christ. But it says, "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ comes, no man knoweth whence he is." They thought that they knew who Jesus was. They knew where He was born. They have known His father and mother, His earthly father and mother, they thought. They did not realize that the Father was the Holy Spirit. Mary was just a vessel that God chose to use to bring Jesus down here on earth and give Him a human body to live. And so they didn't understand that, but they did hear the words. And when they heard those strong words, why aren't they doing something if they say that this isn't the Christ? If they say this isn't God here on earth, then why don't the rulers do something? Or do they really believe that it is the Christ? And that was the question they had in verse 26. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ, but they're just not telling us, they're not surrendering to that? That's the talk that was going on between the people. And now we come to verse 28. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as He taught, saying, Ye both know Me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of Myself, but He that sent Me is true, whom ye know not. But I know Him, for I am from Him, and He hath sent Me." Again, they thought that they understood who this man was. because they thought they knew the father and mother, knew where he was born, when he was born, how old he was, knew some of the other family around. So they thought, sure, that they knew who this man was. And if it's really the Christ, and verse 27 tells us, but when Christ comes, no man knows where he is. In other words, why do we know so much about this man when he says he's the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, they didn't understand how he was going to come, even though it had been prophesied. They missed the coming of the Messiah. Many of the rulers did. And isn't it so sad that the very people that should have recognized this to be the Lord Jesus, to be the Messiah, they're the ones that missed it. They're the ones that didn't see it. They were so caught up in the tradition of the church, so to speak, the tradition of the Jewish religion of the day, that they missed the very coming of their Savior. People today do the same thing. They come to church, they hear a preacher speak some philosophy and speak some words, and they go home and they think that's enough. That's it. I have learned all I need to learn. You need to learn that Jesus saves, and you need to learn that whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Now, do you believe in Jesus? Will you turn from your wicked ways and come unto him today? Will you repent of your sin? Please that you come today to the Lord Jesus. And don't depend on any other works at all, any works. It's strictly and completely by faith that you must come to the Lord Jesus. Quite a question here they kept asking him all the time, but he explains in verse 28 and 29 that you think you know me, but you don't. You think you understand who my parents are, where I live, where I work. You think you understand everything, but you understand nothing. And that's exactly the way it is in your life if you have not come by faith to Jesus. If you have just come to church and listened to the preacher and never confessed your sin before the living God and never felt the penetration of that Holy Spirit upon your heart, if you've never done that, if that experience has never been a part of your life, and when I say an experience, it doesn't mean that, oh, you cry or you laugh or whatever you might do. It is you coming to meet God. And I'll guarantee you the day that you meet Jesus as your Savior is a day that you will never forget. So I ask you that you look today into your heart. And if Jesus isn't there, oh, I believe in my mind. Yes, you probably do. But it's got to be in your heart. Please that you listen. Remember back in John, the very beginning says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You need to believe that. This Word, God's Word, has come from the heavens down and took on a body and lived here on this earth 33 years and then died on the cross of Calvary and rose again that the work of redemption would be complete. We praise Him. We honor Him. We thank Him. We worship Him. We bow down to Him. We confess our sin before Him, and He is just and righteous to forgive us of our sin, and He saves us. That's the beautiful steps of salvation. Oh, we get our minds set so clearly and so much against and so much on our own will and own way that people can't see. They miss Jesus and that free gift. These people miss Jesus because they thought they knew who he was, but they didn't. But I know him, for I am from him, and he that has sent me. You know, you can't know the Father. You can't know God the Father without knowing the Son, the Lord Jesus, first. And that's what he's saying. You talk about God. You talk about God the Father, this, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's talking to these Israelites, and they have these Jews, and they have all the answers, but they have no answers at all. The answers need to come when they come by faith and surrender their heart unto the Lord Jesus. And so they didn't know him at all. They thought they did. I'm not come of myself, but him that sent me is true, whom ye know not. You don't know me. Verse 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. You see, we have him coming to this the Feast of the Tabernacle quietly, not forward, not to just kind of in the background as he comes into the city, and he didn't hide very long because we found him in the temple. and proclaiming and teaching to not only the people but also to the Jews as well. And as he was doing this teaching and proclaiming, why, the longer he was around and the more the murmuring and the hearing and the things that the Pharisees and the leaders of the church heard, the chief priests, the more they heard, the more they hated it. And so they sought out to kill him. But you know, it doesn't matter whether they could see Jesus. They still could not lay a hand on him because his time was not yet come. There was a time to be born and there's a time to die. Jesus came down here on earth, and that time was set before the foundations of the world was set. And that time was set when he would come here, be born of the Virgin Mary, live this life that he lived, and then die on the cross of Calvary and be raised again and back into the right hand, to the right hand of the Father in heaven. That was all set before the foundations of the world, and that time was not yet come, and no man can change that time. As no man can change the means of salvation, then no man can change the way to be saved. Oh, a multitude have tried to, but every one of those that have followed that man have died and went to hell, and they're going to be in the lake of fire eternally with the devil and his angels. That's where you're going to spend eternity if you change the Word of God and get away from the truth. That's what the Word of God tells us. Verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? They were amazed at the miracles, the things that Jesus could perform, and no man, no other man could do it. They had never witnessed a man, and they're saying here, will there ever be a man that will be able to do what he can do? And because of that, many of them come and believed. Well, I'm a miracle of God. Oh, I'm not perfect, but he has saved me and he's taken my sin away and I thank him for it. Oh, I've made mistakes. I've made some big mistakes. But the Lord has forgiven me for all those and he has set me free from the bondage of sin. He's set me on a road that is a road of godliness and a road of righteousness and a road to be holy every day. Every day our goal, our life should be to be more like Jesus. Some days we head in that direction. Other days we find ourselves turned and going the wrong way. God forgive us for those days. And he does. Oh, we don't lose our salvation those days, but we sure lose the fellowship. We sure lose the opportunity for him to lead us and bless us and use us and give us his power. All those things are finished and gone. Many believed, the Word of God says. I love that verse 31. Many of the people believed on him. He said, I can't imagine there's going to be another man that's going to perform such miracles as these. And the Pharisees heard that, heard the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. They continued to pursue him. This is the leaders of the church. See, many people do not believe that the leadership of a church, the pastor, and maybe the elders or deacons, whichever you might have, that they would ever allow something contrary to the Word of God to be taught. That people would go astray, that they would leave the Word of God. It's been going on forever. Ever since man has started, they have always tried to do it another way. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. When they ate of the forbidden fruit and they realized that they were naked, what did they do? Did they fall on their face before the living God and says, forgive us, God, forgive us for what we've done? No, they hid themselves and they covered themselves with leaves. Now, that's a perfect example of what today religion is today. And Jesus, God came by. And what did he do? He called for them. they came, and he put coats of skin from animals that God himself had slain, representing the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. The offering that needed to be made for their sin was already a picture in the very early chapters of Genesis. God put that on them, took that old jacket that they had made out of the leaves, and put on his protection and his power, his saving power. And he put them on. The scripture is very clear about that. So when you turn, it's not something that you can do. It is something that the call of God, when God called for Adam and Eve and they were afraid. Now, maybe you're afraid today to stop following that religious leader that you're following, following that pastor that has not told you that Jesus saves. But you're hearing the words today, and you're hearing that Jesus saves, and I'm saying that the word tells you whosoever, and we can find that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, if you want to look it up. You can go back to John chapter 3, just a couple chapters, and you'll find you must be born again. And that was a religious ruler that Jesus was speaking that to. Please that we look unto the Lord Jesus, and we accept that gift that he has given as Adam and Eve accepted the gift that God had given them for salvation. Please that you accept that same gift today. But these Pharisees, when they saw this, they were concerned of the people and the talk that was going on among the people. And so they sought to take him. They wanted to take him. But Jesus said to them, "In a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." He's telling him right there that I'm going to go to the cross of Calvary, but that grave is not going to keep me. When I die upon that cross and go into that grave, then he's speaking of the resurrection. And then 40 days later, the ascension. That's what they're talking about. The resurrection and the ascension. Jesus is speaking to them about that. "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me." No, he's right at the right hand of the Father. "Where I am, thither ye cannot come." Beautiful scripture verses. Why couldn't they go? Well, they can't go there till either Jesus comes to get his church again, or they trust in him by faith and do face the grave and then come out of that grave with their soul. Body stays in the grave for however long till Jesus comes. But their soul goes to right into the presence of God. These people can't come there. Why can't they? Because they have not come by faith. They have not trusted in him. How can this be that they can be Pharisees, leaders, church leaders? How can this be that they are leaders, spiritual leaders, and not know Jesus? I need you to know that today, that that can happen today. It could be in your own heart right now. You can have so many answers, say so much about the Bible, but you don't know the author. You don't know the Lord Jesus. Scripture continues in verse 35. "Then said the Jews among themselves, Whether will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles?" Where's he going to go? Is he going to leave us here? He's going to go so far that he's going to get in and teach the Gentiles? We won't go there. That's a sure fact. We're not going to be found there. Is that where he's talking about? What manner of saying is this that he said? "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." They didn't understand, did they? Well, let me help you a little, my friend. You can't understand either. If you're trying to figure out this in your mind, you're not going to do it. If you're going to try to understand how the blood of the Lord Jesus can take your sin away and you're trying to do it without a spiritual mind, you're trying to do it with just the old physical mind, the old flesh, you're trying to figure this out, I'm going to ask you to stop. For years, when I was first saved and I would visit with somebody about the Lord Jesus, I would take hours trying to explain every question of the Word of God that they had, knowing that if I could just answer every question they had, they would surely come to Jesus. Well, I have grown since then, and I realize that to attempt to answer a person's question that does not know the author of the book, does not know the Lord Jesus, is totally in vain, because never will you answer all the questions. There are always going to be more. And so I'm asking you today that you will come by faith. And see, if I could have answered all those questions, and in your mind you would be satisfied with those answers, saying, okay, now I will come. No, you won't. Because you'll never be satisfied with the answer I give. I am not capable of answering every question by any means that you might have. But I know what you need to do. You don't need to be tied up in all those questions of where did this come from, and who did this, and how did this happen, and how can this be? I know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus took my sin away when he did that, and he has handed us a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and so we must come to our Savior Jesus. Please, that you look unto the Lord Jesus, that you recognize, ye shall seek me and ye shall not find me. You're looking in the wrong places. You better begin to look in God's Word. Don't look to your quarterly, your Sunday school quarterly. Don't just listen to what the preacher says. Don't just listen to what the Sunday school teacher says. I want the people here, I ask them to come, and they come with their Bibles, and they open their Bibles open, and they study their Bibles, and they know what is taught is what the Word of God tells them. Now, maybe they don't like what the Word of God says. That's between them and God. It's my responsibility to preach the truth, and I proclaim it as clearly as I can, as simply as I can, that people will come to the Lord Jesus, that they will not find themselves lost, not being able to find the Lord Jesus. He went to the cross of Calvary. He offered his life for mine. And I just need to come by faith and trust in that. And you need to do that first of all. And then God will begin to answer some of those questions that you have. One by one, he'll grow you. And he'll help you to understand his word so clearly. But you must know him first. Know him as your personal Savior. And as we look at the next verse of Scripture, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, are you becoming thirsty of the Word of God? Are you desiring to know the Lord Jesus today? Are you willing to step out on faith, even though you have questions that you can't seem to have answered in your mind? Is your heart calling you? Is your heart desiring for you to come? Will you please come today? Will you trust in him as your Savior? Because he offered his life for yours upon the cross of Calvary. I'm asking you to come. Look at that sweet verse of Scripture. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty? The invitation is up to you. If any man thirst, let him come. Jesus will not force himself upon you. Will you come? Please, salvation is a free gift. But you're going to have to look to the Lord Jesus by faith to receive it. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come? Come to him and accept that free gift of salvation. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?